and welcome into the 46th episode of the Calcio Connection podcast, connecting with you, Italian football fans from all over the world. We're also going to connect with English football fans and some Spanish football fans today. We're taking it all over Europe on this episode. Before we introduce our special guest, let me introduce my co-host as always. I am Alex Dono, alongside Jerry Mancini. I imagine I haven't spoken to Jerry, you know, like over Skype or the phone in a few days, but, you know, speaking to Jerry over Twitter and social media the last couple days, I would imagine he's feeling a lot better after we finally got a Lazio victory, 2-1 over Cagliari on Thursday, clinching a Champions League berth or at least fourth place. I know that if the unthinkable happens and, you know, Roma wins Europa League and Napoli wins Champions League, then the fourth place Serie A team would not go through. But I'm certainly not expecting that to happen. I also, Jerry, I might have a bone to pick with you because you were texting with me today. You didn't want any spoilers on the Milan-Atalanta game. Now, that game went final about 45 minutes before we started taping this. Like, do you not want me to talk about the game on the pod because you haven't watched it yet? Because if that's the case, that seems a little selfish of you. How you doing?
I'm very good. Thank you for asking. And I'm very good at hiding Twitter and staying off media if I want to watch a game and not have a score revealed to me. Like, I find that when the score is revealed, I'll still watch it, but the suspense is not there as much. Like, it's just, you know, with what has happened, even though the events haven't occurred to you yet, but like, it's just not knowing. The unknown is what really brings the best out of the game. What to expect? You just don't know what's going to happen. So for me, I always love not knowing the score, especially a game like Milan versus Atalanta. And I said in the last episode, Atalanta is overrated. I didn't check Twitter today. I didn't see anything. My gut feeling is that for some reason, I was saying this before, I think that Milan could steal points against Atalanta, especially the form they're showing. And I swear to you, I did not watch the game today. I don't know what happened. The only thing I saw on Twitter line was that Donnarumma made a save. That's all I know.
You probably saw me tweet that and it threw you into a tailspin. But I'll tell you, like the issue that I have here is, now we are going to branch out and talk some English football and some Barcelona today, but Jerry, we do an Italian football podcast, and you're telling me we can't talk about, like, one of the games of the week that just had, like, you're driving me insane, man.
We're going to talk about it on Sunday with the Calcio guys. Come on, man. I want to shift away from Serie A. I'm happy that Lazio have finally clinched Champions League after, I think, 12, 13 seasons. It's been a long time that I lost count, and now I'm very happy with the guests we have on today because I'm a Barcelona fan when it comes to Spanish football. Sorry, La Liga. And I want to know a little bit about Leeds because, like, that's a club that hasn't been in the EPL for, I don't know how long it's been. And our guests will tell us. But I'm very intrigued to ask him and find out what he expects, how Leeds will do next season. And if they can basically avoid a disastrous season like Aston Villa had this season, and I believe Fulham last year, where they spent over 100 million and it didn't succeed to anything. It's just big failure. So I'm really curious to find out. But aside from that, yeah, the verdict is all, I am being selfish. Yeah, you're right. I'm a piece of shit.
I think honestly, I'm going to, at some point, I think I'm going to spoil it. I may debate it, but I don't know. It's just be on your toes, Jerry. I might spoil it. But
before we go on, I will say one thing about Lazio. Milinkovic-Savic, I was wrong. I always expect maybe the less, but he is not leaving. He's already confirmed it today. His heart is with Lazio. Champions League was his goal. He finally made it with Lazio. I'm hoping that this is the start of something to come for Lazio, earning a spot into Champions League. Ciro Immobile, what did I tell you? Cristiano Ronaldo is not going to bring this guy down. He is hungry. Immobile is hungry, and I think that their games are just their team is starting to come back now. You have a Correa that came back yesterday. We saw who else came off the bench that I'm pretty sure there were other. Oh, Maricich came back.
Yes.
And you got Luis Alberto, who is back in the lineup. It's all in the writing for Lazio. I just wish that we had this team versus Juventus on Monday, because it would have been a different outcome. I just think that these kind of players would have made a big difference in a game like that on Monday. But coulda, woulda, shoulda, the better team won, and that's it. It doesn't matter. You have to figure out ways to win, even when you don't have your best players. That's the bottom line.
Well, let's bring in our special guest on this episode. He does a tremendous job covering Leeds United, who's on their way up to the Premier League. Also covers Barcelona. I've certainly got some Barca questions, as there have been, you know, some, there's always transfer rumors with Barcelona, but some of those rumors could affect Inter, who of course I support. All the way from Ireland, Jerry Johnston joins us. Jerry, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm just reliving, you know, that 15 goal thriller between AC Milan and Atalanta earlier tonight, you know.
Oh, I love it. You're already fitting in on the show, man. So Jerry, I guess let's start out with Leeds United before we get into Barca. I mean, how long has it been since they were up in Premier League, and how excited are you to see them now take this big step forward?
It's been 16 years. 16 wow. years outside the Premier League, and the majority of that was in the second tier, but they did have a couple of years, I think two or three years down in the third tier of English football. So they actually got promoted into the Championship 10 years ago, and finally now we've done it. Marcelo Bielsa, our Lord and Savior, has took us up into the promised land. So you know, what can we say? You know, it's just so happy to be back. And obviously, it's a changed place. You know, there's the money aspect is completely different, so you kind of feel like you're going to be having to punch way up. But Leeds are back. They're a massive club, massive support. There's a lot of potential, but they have to do it on the pitch and off the pitch, and they didn't do it the last time, but hopefully things have changed and we're going to be a bit more solid foundation this time.
Jerry, I have a question. Like, so what do you think that Leeds needs to do now in order to not fall in the same trap like Aston Villa did and Fulham, where these clubs spend so much money, but I feel that it really hasn't transitioned to anything, little success. We saw Fulham get relegated in one season, and Aston Villa is on like the bare minimum right now, and they need to win on Sunday, or else it seems that it might possibly turn into relegation. So do you think that Leeds will approach their first season back in the top flight in a different approach, or do you think they'll be spending the same kind of money, and do you think that's the right approach for this team?
I think that the thing, obviously, that Fulham and Aston Villa have in common is they spent so much money. So basically what they done was they took successful teams that were good teams, got promoted, completely ripped it up, and brought in players who, you know, weren't a part of it. You're going into the next game of the following season, 6-7 guys making your debut. It's a completely different team. What Leeds have already said, and the ownership have already said, is that they're looking to go more towards the Sheffield United approach, where, you know, continuity is what you're looking for here. Basically, that team, like Bielsa, is not a guy that makes an awful lot of changes anyway. You know, so he's going to be looking at it as a couple of improvements here and there. He's going to want them guys in as soon as possible, so as he can get them from day one whenever the training comes back. The thing about it is, you know, I just don't see the point in this. Like, teams get up, get the money, and they just throw everything they're trying to survive. But why rip up a good thing? Why take something, you know, that's worked last season and completely change it? For as far as I'm concerned, there's already been some silly rumours. Like, people are talking about Cavani coming to Leeds, you know, which is basically coming through. There's been rumours that the Qatar people that own PSG are looking at investing in Leeds, but like 18 million for like a guy who's like, I don't know, is he 34, 35? No doubt a great player, and no doubt many times better than Patrick Bamford, but it's not really laying the foundations that you want to be laying.
Absolutely, and I feel that this team has a lot of potential. But what are your thoughts about Marcello? And I always have a hard time saying his last name. I think Bielsa or Bielsa? Bielsa?
Bielsa.
Bielsa. Okay, Bielsa. Thanks. I butcher names. Jerry, understand I butcher names. Like, I don't know how Alex still hasn't figured out that I butcher Stefan De Vrij's name. I call him De Vrij when it's really De Vrij.
I enjoy it when you call him that. So I just sit back and listen to that one.
But Marcello, I'm looking at his stats, and these are some crazy, crazy numbers. 56 wins, 18 draws, and 26 losses. It's a winning percentage of 56%. And it's second best behind his time when he was with Vélez Sarsfield, which I've never heard of. So not with Argentina, actually, with the international, but we won't count that. His club team was Vélez Sarsfield, and I don't know who that is, to be honest. But what has made Marcello become so successful with Leeds and transition his team into a winning club and build this foundation?
I think, to be honest, sometimes people look at it and say, like, a manager, he's got a lot of background, he's got this and he's got that. But, like, Bielsa purely is his dedication, what he puts into the team, where he takes players to, what he does with them in the training ground. Like, the Leeds team, I think it was the season before Bielsa came, we finished 13th, I think it was, and, like, we just looked like a club going nowhere. We didn't really have anything positive going. We had been just through manager after manager after manager. I'm sure you all understand, as Italian football fans, when I say Massimo Cellino was in charge at a time. We obviously, he's at Brescia now, but he loves just getting rid of managers. And so he owned the club at a time, and he was just manager after manager. The team hasn't really changed that much, but the players, the improvement in the players is just, it's so, so much. He's like, guys like Luke Ealing and guys like Liam Cooper, Stuart Dallas, like these guys, like Stuart Dallas came from Brentford to Leeds, but he was at, like, maybe he's like 7 or 8 years ago, he was playing in Ireland for Crusaders, and like he's such an important player for Leeds. Liam Cooper came from like Chesterfield, and he's such, you know, he just brings players on so much. He just really cannot say enough about the man, and he just seems like he just lives and breathes football. Like, you see photos of him, and he's like just dandering about Leeds and his club tracksuit, and he's like sitting in McDonald's, and he's on a laptop, and you know that he's watching like some like Russian 7th division match, you know, because he's heard something about some player. He's just lives and breathes the game, and he's just been so, so good for Leeds United.
So getting promoted is a huge step, and the next challenge is going to be really competing in Premier League and staying up and becoming a big player. You know, you talked a little bit, Jerry, about potential investors like the Qatari group. As far as, like, not necessarily specific players, but maybe you have some in mind, but what the transfer window might look like this summer in terms of the positions that really need the most addressing? Like, what are you expecting this summer?
I think we definitely need to address, well, number one, the first thing we need to actually address is Bielsa. His contract's due to expire on the 1st of August, so we need to sort that out. We need to get that agreed. You know, he's one of these guys, it would be such a typical of his career, just to say, right, you know, I've done that, I'm away. The board need to get him on site, get his contract sorted out, and then we start looking at the players. Ben White at centre back, he's on loan from Brighton, but he's really good, really, really good player, young English guy, centre back. He played in midfield a few times whenever players were injured and stuff in midfield, and he's really, really good, really talented player. There's already like Liverpool and Man City and stuff are already believed to be like looking at him and stuff, so you're going to have to address that. If you can get him on loan for another season or look to sign another centre-back, but we definitely need a centre-back. And I think we need another striker. We've got Patrick Bamford up front. And like, he scored 15 goals or 16 goals or something this season. And he's such like an honest, hard-working guy, but he just misses so many chances. And in the Premier League, like Leeds, in the end, they kind of blew up their goals for it. Halle in the last couple of weeks, they got a couple of big wins. But overall, there was a few games, like there was a long time whenever they were kind of a wee bit behind West Brom and Brentford in terms of goals scored and stuff. And whenever it goes up into a harder leg, better defenders, you know, we need a goal scorer. We do need a goal scorer. But as I said already about Cavani, you know, I think that's a pipe dream, you know, unless they, like, I see Benfica have turned down anyone to 18 million a year. Like Leeds, basically their meltdown came from paying stupid money for people. So, you know, avoid that. But we do need a striker and we do need a centre back.
So you mentioned Ben White. Is there any other players that you would suggest or who have been a standout for Leeds United this season that really you didn't expect them to be as good as they were in the season?
Yeah, well, I mentioned Stuart Dallas for one. Like Dallas is always kind of like in his first couple of years at Leeds, he was kind of a bit like journeyman, maybe, you know, 12th man. He was always kind of the guy who would maybe start when somebody's injured. He can slot in anywhere, but he's like this season. I think he got injured at one point, but up until then, he was the only player that had played every minute of every game. He's come along so far. Like, he came to Leeds and like, he was kind of regarded as like a left midfielder. Like this season alone, just like thinking he's played left back, right back, centre midfield. I don't even remember him actually playing left midfield. He's just become just a pure footballer under Bielsa. Calvin Phillips is one that, like, regardless of what happened with Leeds United, that guy was going to be playing in the Premier League next season. He kind of plays that like deep line midfielder, defensive, kind of in front of the centre backs, but pulling the strings role. I know even at one stage there was talk that England might have had a look at him for the Euros if they went ahead before the pandemic, because they kind of thought that they were maybe missing that kind of a player. But I think he's definitely a real talent. There's a young guy as well, came from Man City, Poveda. He plays on the wing. He got a few minutes and stuff off the bench over the last couple of games, and he looks talented along with the wee guy Shackleton, who's come through the youth setup at Leeds. So at the minute, you know, there's plenty of good young talent at the club. But obviously, whenever we weren't in the Premier League, we had a real difficulty trying to keep that. You know, like you could make like a hell of a team of players that maybe played for Leeds at some stage and went on to the Premier League. And obviously, we've missed out on a lot of their careers. Like even one for Liverpool just won the league, James Milner. He started off at Leeds whenever he was like 16, 17. It was fantastic. The season we went down, he was like him and Alan Smith were the two that kind of come out of that with any credit. And he's went on and had an amazing career. But, you know, if Leeds hadn't have been such a mess, like, so much more of his career could have been at Leeds, you know, and he's went on and he's won titles at City, he's won titles at Liverpool now. So, you know, it's basically about having the, being in the position where you can keep your talent now.
Now, I don't know who owns Leeds, and people are going to probably laugh at me, but who is the owner? Is it an issue that that they just don't spend the money to retain players or even to buy better to buy good players to like mix up with the actual youth? Is that an issue with Leeds, or is it just that they just don't, the teams outbid them, that they just can't compete?
Well, basically, the current ownership is very popular. But the club has been in a bit of a shambles over sort of the last 16 years. But a wee bit beyond that, the club basically they spent above what they had, going for Champions League places. They missed out in the Champions League and it caused a meltdown. They had to sell all the players. They were in a lot of debt. The sort of debt that Leeds were in at the time is the sort of money that like Premier League clubs get for about half a dozen games from Sky now. Sky TV and television money, but you know, back then it was different. You know, the money obviously has become astronomical. The current owner is actually an Italian guy, Andrea Radrazzani. I don't know obviously if he's made much of an impact over in North America with you guys, but he owns 11 Sports, which is like a sports media company, and I think by all accounts, I think they're quite popular in Southeast Asia. He tried to break into the English market by showing Serie A and La Liga for a while, but they didn't get an awful lot of subscriptions, so they ended up having to scrap them. They're also a share with over in North America with San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah. I knew I heard that there. Name somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. So that they have got like a partnership with and own a certain percentage of leads. But basically, the guy Rodgers on it at the minute, like he's right in the middle, and like the fans love him. But you know, it's easy to be the guy whenever you know you're winning stuff. It's obviously depends, you know, where he goes now and what he does. But like the fact that he pretty much like we're looking at different people to come in whenever they got Bielsa. Antonio Conte was actually one of the names that apparently I don't know whether he's because they're both Italian writers and Conte whether he's like friends with him, but he was one of the people that they were talking about at the time. But he basically somehow anyway him and his director of football come up with Bielsa, and by all accounts the story goes that they made contact with him and arranged to come out and meet him in Argentina. And by the time they had met him, he had watched like every like championship game from the season before that Leeds had had. You know, as soon as Bielsa heard Leeds United, he was like straight on watching all the matches. He's watched all the matches, told them what they were doing wrong, etc. And then you know, made his play. But like they haven't spent a huge amount of money. But the thing is, in the championship, you've got these things called parachute payments, which is basically if you're in the Premier League and you get relegated, rather than just the complete fall off of like 100 or 150 million, whatever it is, falling out of your accounts, the Premier League kind of gives you like compensation payments where you'll get payments for 4 years. So Leeds have been out of the league 16 years, so they didn't have them. So they were up against it financially anyway. And obviously because they basically almost went to the wall the last time, so the fans weren't expecting big money to be spent. So if anything, it just underlines, you know, the good job that's been done by everyone off the pitch and on the pitch as well in the last 2 years.
Well, my last question, it's kind of a funny one, I think, but you said that Ben White is a very solid, good center back, right? You mentioned. Mm-hmm. Would he be someone that Chelsea can use for that ship that ship back end they have?
Because, Jerry's trying to make transfer deals. I can hear it.
Because I don't know, when I hear something like this, I feel this is like a Chelsea move where they'll just come in and they steal a guy like Ben White and they'll pay 40 million, you know what I mean? And like they tie Leeds United's hands and say, hey, we're going to take this guy who's up and coming and we're going to buy him. And we've seen Chelsea do this a few times, but like, I don't know. Do you think he would be a player that can really step in for Chelsea and can make a difference over what they already have right now? I know he's only 22, but I don't look at age because there's a lot of players who are young and are ready to play and are much better than many people think. Example, Matthijs de Ligt. I think he's a great player. I know he hoofed yesterday against Udinese, but everybody's so quick to look at one bad mistake. But his overall game, I think he's a superb center back and he's going to just grow and get better. And I'm just curious if this is a certain player that maybe would fit into Chelsea if that was the case.
I think certainly, based on the profile that Frank Lampard and the sort of player that Frank Lampard's gone for over the last season, certainly I think Ben White would fit the profile. Obviously, the fact that he's English helps with all the box ticking that you have to do to play in the UEFA competitions these days. He's definitely, to me, he's the best centre back I've seen at Leeds in a long, long time. How that translates into moving up into the Premier League obviously is another matter, but he looks exactly the kind of guy that in the modern game he can put his foot on the ball, he can play a pass, he can move the ball out of defence. He's hard to beat, he's strong, you know, he looks the complete package to me based on what Chelsea have, and I certainly agree with you, centre back is an area that they need to improve on. If you've got Frank Lampard's number, I would recommend him.
Totally. And I want to segue over to Barcelona, who you also support and cover. You said an overall evaluation on this La Liga campaign for them. You know, how did they let that title slip away to Real Madrid? And how have you felt about the job that Quique Setién has done?
To be honest, like Barcelona, it's just like you could honestly just stand it and just bang your head off a wall. It's the most frustrating thing to watch. You've got a guy like Lionel Messi, and like we've been watching the things they can do for like what must be like 15 years now, and you've got him playing, and it's just so bad. It's so bad to watch them sometimes. There's no plan. It's like. And in many ways, sometimes it's kind of like, who do you blame for that? Is like, there seems to be like a line of managers recently, like Phil Faraday, Kike Setién's come in, and they don't seem to change. Nothing seems to have changed since like 4 or 5 years ago. Like, it just seems like they're just trying the same old stuff. Just give the ball to Messi. Everybody else kind of just stand still and see what he can do. It's, you know, is the answer like, whenever Messi finally hangs up the boots, is somebody else going to step up and take responsibility? At the same time, like, we've probably only got another 2 or 3 years of Lionel Messi. You don't want to waste that. But it just seems like there's no structure, no plan, no thinking. Nothing's like happening. There's always been rumors of like, you know, player power being a bit crazy at Barcelona. Like, is it true? You know, it really could be. It could be true. Like, there just doesn't seem to be any authority. Sometimes you just want somebody to come in and give them a good kick up the backside and say, you know, like this is what you need to do. You need to work. Like look at the prime example is Liverpool. You know, I look at the Liverpool team and they've a lot of quality, but nobody's going to work harder than them. Nobody in the world is going to work harder than them. So whenever you're a good team and you work hard, Barcelona's success previously has come from that. You know, it's like basically, like, you used to always hear about the 6 second rule, where if Barcelona lost possession, 6 seconds, everyone just pressed in around the ball, cut off all the passing lanes, put pressure on the man in possession, and if you haven't won the ball within 6 seconds, then retreat. But like now, it just seems like they lose the ball and there's like maybe 6 or 7 guys like all maybe like move back, and some guys will just stand, and there's just so much wrong with the club on and off the field. As I spoke about Leeds finally sorted things off the field. There's so much bad feeling about what's going on at board level, and it just seems to be running right through the club.
That's a really good assessment. I like that. I'm going to do my due diligence here and ask you a question about Lionel Messi. You know, try not to laugh at me too hard, or maybe you won't laugh at me. I don't know what your opinion is on this, because there have been Italian reports that surfaced on Friday that make a very, I think, loose link of Messi to Inter. I think it happened because apparently Messi's father is buying some real estate in Milano, very close to where the Inter HQ is located. Obviously, Messi being linked to other clubs, including Inter, are something that happens every, you know, prior to every summer transfer window. You know, my 2 cents on it is, I don't expect it to happen. I certainly, especially not this summer. I think from what I'm told, to talking to some Inter insiders, they would expect Suning, who owns Inter, to make, if they're going to take a shot at Messi and make a run at Messi, it would not happen this summer. It would happen next summer, hoping they could, you know, get him on a free transfer once his contract expires. So I don't really know how much there is to, if anything, to the rumors that surfaced today on Friday. But if Inter is ever going to make a run at Messi, the legitimate run would probably not happen now. It would happen a year from now. But on that note, Jerry, your take on the long-term future of Messi, do you think that this coming season might be his last at Barca, or do you think an extension could be reached?
There seems to be some game of like politics almost surrounding Messi over the last few years. Every time he's like not happy about something, you know, like a rumor comes out, like, is it that he's fell out with like a board member? He's obviously, like a few months back, whenever City got the job, he had the public spat with Abidal. I think Abidal made some sort of comment that the players were to blame for Valverde losing his job, and Messi was very quick to, you know, defend that. But he doesn't look happy. He doesn't look like he's enjoying himself. And like this, like to me, like I, you know, there's always going to be the Ronaldo and Messi debate. But to me, like, he's the guy that's given me the most pleasure in watching football in my lifetime. And that's, you know, obviously I'm a Barcelona fan, so it might be biased, but, you know, just from what I like watching and the way he plays the game, just to me, it's just, you know, like the game just won't even be the same when he's done. But, and so in many ways, I don't know whether it's like, is it a political move as such from him to get who he wants in as the manager, who he wants in as the transfers. There's always been the talk about him in Italy, or not in Italy, sorry, in Argentina, about Mauro Icardi. By all accounts, him and Maxi Lopez were good friends, and he always kind of, the rumour was that Messi didn't really want Icardi playing for Argentina, because obviously of that friendship, and they didn't really get on. But like Inter Milan, like, by all accounts, you know, like, it would be an amazing thing to happen. Can you imagine? You know, like, he just seems like he's always going to be at Barcelona. And but I honestly, like, if I was him, and like, I'm looking at what's happening at the club, I would be looking at possibly leaving this season. Next season there is going to be elections, which obviously is different, obviously, to most clubs, but like, Barcelona hold elections, I think it's every 6 years, and the board, then the president and stuff, always has to get re-elected. At the minute, like, he doesn't seem like he particularly is happy with the current board, and there just seems to be factions and splits all within it. So if he was going to leave, I would suggest that this season would probably be the one he would go, because the chances are that there's going to be a new board next season. If he does go and he leaves Barcelona, he has publicly said that he wouldn't want to go anywhere else in Europe. Now, whether he might go back on that because he's just genuinely has had enough, I don't know. But if he does leave, he kind of says that he would want to go back to Newell's Old Boys, who's also actually, Marcelo Bielsa also managed them in Argentina, and they're both Newell's alumni. But he's always said that he would like to go back to them. Whether that is even possible, I don't know. The other thing I would say that would maybe rule out Inter Milan would be, if he did go, he might want to go with Pep Guardiola. I could see him maybe going to Man City. And certainly, you know, like, from a financial point of view, they're you know, whatever he wants, Man City can give him. Whether he would, like, obviously Inter Milan would be interesting to go back with the Ronaldo thing. But even just from, like, your own point of view, what would you think? Would you think he's an Antonio Conte type of player?
The easy answer is no, but I think the more complicated answer is it's Lionel Messi and you find a way to make it work. Like, I honestly, and the other thing on that is that, you know, it's interesting you bring up that the better time to leave would be this summer and not next summer. That's interesting, because another part of that would be, because I was kind of thinking next summer would be when Inter could really make the run at him, because there'd, you know, be no transfer fee potentially. It would be picking him up on a free. And because I really wonder how long Conte is going to be at Inter. I mean, Conte is not the type of coach that stays anywhere 5 or 6 years. So, I mean, if someone like Messi were to come in, maybe not this summer, but a year from now, you know, Conte may not even be around at that point. So I don't know. But I honestly don't see Messi being a Conte type player. But I think he's so good that you have to find a way to make it work. But I did want a follow up to what you're saying, because, like you, if he were to leave Barcelona, I could understand wanting to leave Europe, not to want to, you know, go and potentially create another powerhouse that could compete with Barca somewhere else. Would there be any chance that he might ever, if not this summer, maybe a couple years down the road, be interested in an MLS move? I mean, Jerry and I both cover MLS clubs. He covers TFC up in Toronto. I now work with Inter Miami, the new franchise that's partly owned by David Beckham. And I know Beckham is always trying to get big names to come and join the squad. Like, could you ever see something like that from Messi? Or do you think it's either Europe or Argentina for him?
I honestly can't ever really see him going there. What I would obviously say, whenever you said, even before you said, sorry, but as soon as you mentioned MLS, the one that sort of came to my head was Inter Miami, because I know obviously they were looking at Luis Suarez at one stage. But I don't think that's, I think a lot of the time, like a lot of players, and sort of from what I've seen, go to America to build their profile. And I don't really think Messi cares about that. I think, if anything, I could see Ronaldo going more. I think Messi's just kind of, I just kind of imagine, like, whenever Messi's finished with football, he goes home to Argentina, lives as quiet a life as he can with his wife and his kids. And, you know, he maybe pops up with the odd random comment, like a World Cup time or a big Champions League game. But I just don't see him really, like, extending that career for, you know, as long. I think it's even different to, like, the sort of the time David Beckham went to the LA Galaxy. Like, it kind of felt like the MLS at that time wasn't really remotely respected outside of North America. And I think Beckham kind of went and he deadlifted the profile here. And you can see in the, you know, the players that have followed him out there. So it's definitely more respected. So I just don't see Messi as the kind of guy that wants that kind of pro, unless he's going to be playing to win the biggest trophies in the game. I don't think he's interested, to be honest.
I just don't see Messi leaving personally as well. Ronaldo is the kind of guy who wants to change scenery. He'll jump the ship. I don't think he has that bond, that tie like Messi has since his childhood, always being with Barcelona. They brought him in. This was a player that had a few like health issues, and they took him in as one of theirs, and they really helped him in his career and really allowed him to become a player that he is today. So when he shows that frustration and he calls out his team. Yes, sometimes it is a bad image that he looks like a baby and it's not the image or the persona you want to show people, right? But I think it's just that for how long you've been with the club, was it been like maybe 20 years now, it feels like? We're dating back to who knows how long, but I'm looking at it now and since 2004-05, he's been with the club and that's 15 years basically. And like, I just don't see him leaving, one. Two, I do agree that if he does leave, he'll go back to his, like, hometown club, New Old Boys, whatever you call them, new boys. Or I'm butchering this one too, Alex.
I love you, Jerry.
I butcher all these teams. I don't know, man. I just don't see him leaving. He takes it with... He goes through the highs and the lows, and right now he's going through a low, and he's calling out his team for a reason. You got Napoli in a couple of weeks, and he knows that his team let La Liga slip away. The title was theirs. The only way that Real Madrid could have won it was the way it played out. Barcelona had to let it slip, and they did. Now, I think that Champions League is always the greater pride. If they were to win Champions League, I'm pretty sure Leo Messi would not even give a shit that he lost La Liga and lost the title. He wouldn't care. So I think he's right to call out his team. They haven't looked that good. I watched a few of their performances before Serie A was restarted, and they just don't have that grit, that tenacity, that speed where their movement and their passing and everything. It's just, I feel like there's something missing. And my question now is going to be, do you think that Kiki Setien was the wrong person to bring in, Jerry? Because we had Valverde to start the season. And I personally think that Valverde should have just not started the year. He should have just left last summer. We knew that there was a lot of friction between him and the board. And there was just a lot of rumors. Will he go? Will he not go? And eventually it did proceed, and I don't like how it happened because it could have been prevented. It could have had a new manager in place at the beginning of the year, and it may have changed things, the philosophy, everything, just the structure of the team. Now, what were your thoughts of how they fired Valverde? And did you think that Setien was the right choice to replace him?
Ultimately, Ernesto Valverde, I think Barcelona actually still top of the league whenever he left, but there's just, you know, there was just a real apathy around the club. A lot of it, obviously, to do. There's kind of two factions of Barcelona fans. There's the online Barcelona fan who, you know, we've all been given this voice through social media, and you know, there's a lot of craziness comes from that, and a lot of nonsense, to be honest. But what he Valverde and the in Barcelona, the Barcelona like socios membership, they would tend to be a lot more conservative, and you know. And I think by the kind of the stage where Valverde left, they had kind of had enough of, like, you're basically looking at a team with Lionel Messi, Luis Suarez, Frankie de Jong, and you're watching these guys, and it's like some of the best footballers in the world. And it genuinely feels like you're going to have to do a day's work whenever you're watching them. It's like it's, you're watching the game and it's not enjoyable. So I think, were they right to get rid of Ernesto Valverde? I think they probably were. I think he had just, you know, he had run his course. If they had kept him, he may have won the league. He may not have won the league. We don't really know. Kike Setien, was he the right choice? Well, the Barcelona board didn't think he was the right choice. They made, like, everybody knows that Xavi was offered the job. He turned it down. When he turned it down, Ronald Koeman was offered the job. He turned it down as he wanted to get the Euros with Holland. So at that point, then Barcelona were kind of, you know, they've sacked their manager. Their first choice has turned it down. Their second choice has turned it down. So they're kind of left with like what do we do now? So everything with Barcelona is, it goes back to like the sort of Pep Guardiola team and like what the way they played, the style of football they played. They won. They won football, obviously. Johan Cruyff, going back further than Pep Guardiola, you know, you win. Winning's fine, but a lot of the time at Barcelona, it's about how you win. And Kike Setien would be the kind of guy who his teams play in the sort of idealist way that Barcelona fans want to see their team play. But the problem is, he's come in mid-season. Now, he's kind of going from, like, Valverde with, like, putting you to sleep kind of style of football to this kind of style where he wants teams to press, he wants teams to have the ball, you know, if we have the ball they can't score, all this here sort of stuff. But he didn't, like, he basically walked in and 2 or 3 days later they've got a game. So, you know, he didn't have a time to put a stamp on the thing. Whether he's someone that could walk into that Barcelona dressing room, like, as I say, that Barcelona dressing room seemed really high maintenance, and, you know, tell them, you know, right, you need to put a bit more in. We need a wee bit more from you. Like, you watch the Barcelona team and you look at, like, you sort of think of the spine of the team. You've got Gerard Piqué, 32-33. Sergio Busquets, 32-33. Lionel Messi, 32-33. Luis Suarez, 32-33. So you've got an old spine and you're trying to play a high-tempo pressing game. It doesn't suit them. And whenever you're the kind of team that's going to be playing the ball about a lot, playing a lot of passing, again, you know, it doesn't necessarily suit Barcelona with older players and the lack of pace. Obviously, Ousmane Dembele went out and he was kind of like the one bit of pace until obviously Ansu Fati got his chance. But it just feels like he may well be the right man, but he, you know, it's not the right players, it's not the right situation. You know, he could have maybe come into a Barcelona job even in a year or two, see, whenever Barcelona, whenever Messi eventually does decide to leave and everyone's kind of looking around them for guidance, like, maybe Kike Setien would have been the man to bring it in, but he just doesn't seem to have that influence at the moment, or obviously in the situation that he came into, you know, was very difficult. But I just don't think, I don't even necessarily know that there was a right man to come in. Maybe Xavi, because, you know, he was there and won so many trophies, but, like, What really do you know? You're taking a gamble again there. You know, like, obviously it worked out with Guardiola, but there's no guarantee that Xavi's going to be is going to make it in management. He's obviously doing his doing his badges and getting a bit of experience out in Qatar. But, you know, again, it's another gamble. So it's just, it's a very difficult situation to walk into. I think I would just go for, find out who do you think the best coach in the world is, throw as much money as you can at signing him, and go from there. But at the minute, it just, there's just so much wrong with the club. And at the minute, you know, Setien hasn't exactly earned his right to definitely be there next season.
Well, you said a really good point. Four players aging at the age of 32, 33. I feel like Barcelona is the auction on a decline for the future. Like, I know that they have some good young talent. Ansu Fati, you mentioned. There's Riqui Puig that's supposed to be really good as well. And I just think that there's going to be, we're going to see a new Barcelona in the upcoming years. And it's not going to be this mega team that we always known them to be. Like, with all the bad deals that they've made, it really has hurt the progress of this, of the future of the club. They had to sell Arthur to Juventus, which was a shame, because now they're getting Miralem Pjanic. This guy's a bum. Let's just be realistic here, guys. I know that some podcasts may think he still has a little something to offer, but he's 30 years old. We just got another...
Not this podcast.
we just got another dead body, Jerry. That's what we got. So, but one player who I don't know what Barcelona was thinking was Ousmane Dembele. And the amount of money they dished out to sign this guy, like, was in, I believe, 105 million they bought him. And this guy's like made of glass, because he can't stay healthy for one season. Every time he comes back, he's hurt. And I just think that this is going to be one of the worst deals in the history of this club, and maybe in the history of football, or top five worst deals ever, because the minute he does come back and he's healthy to play again, I will make a bet, my life, that within five games, he's hurt again. Because even last year, I think he got hurt like three times or four times. And every time he came back, he would get hurt in two games. And it's just a bad signing. And I'm hoping that some team out there is so dumb, Manchester United, to buy him and just take him. Because just take him, and we'll take whatever you can for him. What do you think, Jerry? Because I think... You take your losses and you break away, or do you still keep with him even though he's still young and you hope for the best?
I think you have to probably go back to the situation, obviously, and why Barcelona signed Dembele. Obviously, they were sort of landed in a situation where the Neymar deal came about, where obviously PSG come in 220 million, I think. And put that money on the table. That was the release clause, and off Neymar went. So suddenly Barcelona, you know, they've got a bloody nose from that. You know, like, Barcelona are used to doing this, you know, like putting a wee bit of pressure on teams. You know, they've done it with Arsenal for Fabregas. They've done it with Liverpool for Luis Suarez. And, you know, it's just something that Barcelona have done to teams. And then suddenly someone's done it to them. So they're sitting there with this 220 million. A Neymar-shaped hole in the wing. And what do you do with it? So suddenly they're sort of, you know, looking around, right? Who's good? Who's kind of, like, who's everyone talking about? Who's the star at the minute? So you're looking at it, and Dembele had a really good season with Borussia Dortmund. I think he was, like, maybe, like, double figures, goals and assists. And, like, on paper, it looked like a good signing, obviously, the amount of money, you know. But at the same time, I think the Neymar deal, like, just made the transfer market and transfer value just went crazy at the time, you know, because everyone's kind of looking at it, and like, Barcelona's got 220 million, they know they want to spend. So suddenly that guy that's worth 50 million, oh, well, we know you've got 200 million, so we're going to charge you 100 million or 80, whatever, you know. The fees and that's going up. So it seemed then, anyway, Dembele was the guy that they went for. Of course, Dembele came, and as you say, got injured. Dembele came, got injured. Dembele came back, scored a couple, got injured. You know, it's just been his way. But, you know, there's unlucky. There's certain players, and you know, their bodies just haven't got what it takes to compete at top level sports consistently over a period of time. And you know, that's fair enough. You know, it's like sometimes, you know, you'll make a bad bust. Like, you know, American sports is full of guys who, you know, got an injury, and obviously, you know, like there's just so many of guys that have got injuries, and you know, I could have been the next big, I could have been this, I could have been that. But the problem I have with Dembele is he doesn't live the life. Now, he's like, what? He's like early 20s. He's living in Barcelona. And I, like, Barcelona is one of the best cities in the world. I've been a few times, and, you know, like, there's so much to do, and it's such an amazing place. You've got a good climate. It's fantastic. You're then looking at it. You're a millionaire. You've got all this money, time. Like, what are you doing? You're maybe, like, going and travelling about Spain, travelling about Europe, playing a few football games. And then you've got all this free time, you know, to rest, relax. But this guy seems to be, like I don't know whether you guys heard about it and all, but, like, this whole Call of Duty stuff, where, like, he was basically turning up, like, or in some occasions not turning up, having not slept, because he was up all night playing Call of Duty. Like, you know, like, that's, like, you know, like, your wee brother, like, your teenage brother or something does that. But, like, this guy's, like, getting paid, like, he's getting paid millions of pounds a year, or millions of pounds of euros a year to play football. And, like, if you want to be the best, you know, you have to put it in. Like Messi, I'll put it in, Cristiano Ronaldo, in terms of work rate and what that man does, and in terms of what he's made himself, you know, he's went from being probably a good player, something like Dembele, to really pushing himself on, where he had a good base, and he pushed himself on. Dembele doesn't do that. The thing is, as you say, you know, who's going to be stupid enough to give them back the money for him? Like, somebody, you are looking at the Premier League, basically. But personally, I think when he's on the pitch, he's a fantastic asset to have. But he's not on the pitch enough, and he's not living the life off the pitch, which suggests to me that he's professional and he wants to improve, he wants to get fit, he wants to do the best he can for his club and the best he can for his career. So if somebody came in with the money that Barcelona could seriously look at it and say, you know, that's a fair enough amount, we're happy to take that, I would let him go.
You know, a player that I've seen linked to Barca a lot, and obviously it's a player I follow very closely, is Lautaro Martinez from Inter. Now, to be fair, he's been in terrible form since the restart, and a lot of Interisti, myself included, will make the link to, I wonder if he's thinking about Barca, because, you know, we've seen this player, especially some of the goals he scored in Champions League, including a great goal he scored against Barca back in September or October, and he's had some unbelievable moments this year. Then the links to Barca started, and the form has just flown out the window for him. But how much talk about him do you hear from the Barca side, and do you think he's somebody that the club could actually make a priority this summer?
By all accounts, he is the player that's been identified as the replacement for Luis Suarez. Whether it happens, obviously, you know, we don't know. Personally, like, Luis Suarez gets a lot of stick from Barcelona fans and such online, but, you know, still so many times whenever Barcelona played rubbish and they win 1-0, it was still Luis Suarez was the guy, you know, that popped up with a goal. He'd done something unique, something special. But, you know, to improve as a club and to improve as a team, they do need to start, you know, looking at trying to get that average age number down and, you know, add a wee bit more legs to the team. Certainly, he looks a talented player. I know you mentioned there, you know, the sensible lockdown thing. To be honest with you, I wouldn't bat an eyelid at how players' form has been since lockdown. It's a completely unique situation. Whether he has been, you know, has had his head turned a bit, I don't know. But the fact that, you know, like, you're playing football consistent, and like 2 or 3 months, you do nothing, and then you're thrust back into it. You know, like, some players just, you know, will find that difficult. Maybe, you know, there could even be underlying things. I know there's been some players that, like, there just seems to be more and more players coming out and saying, you know, I was down with the virus or whatever, you know. But he's certainly one that just seems to be, like, any time you read the Catalan media, he seems to be the guy that's mentioned. Obviously, the Argentinian connection, the Tegan Messi approves. He seems to make these decisions himself sometimes. But certainly, you know, he's a player that if he came to Barcelona, I would be delighted. You know, he fits the profile that I would like to see the club going for. The problem is, you know, Barcelona have signed players, and Paco Alcacer came in at a time from Valencia and just sat on the bench. Like, you know, the minute we've got Martin Braithwaite, like, I don't know. Like, to be fair to the guy, he hasn't really put a foot wrong. He's done pretty well whenever he's come in, but how that guy ended up at Barcelona, I don't know. But like, to me, Lautaro Martinez, he's definitely a talented player and one I would be very happy to see in the Blaugrana.
Really good stuff here. And I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned to Jerry Mancini and I that, you know, you do watch some Serie A as a neutral. You don't have a team. But has any team tempted you, Jerry? Like, do you ever watch these games and say, you know what? If I did have a Serie A club, I think that might be the team I invest in.
See, like, to be honest, like, over the years, like, for Serie A for me, like, in the 11 Maradu, there was a period in the 90s where I watched an awful lot of Serie A, and, you know, it was the great Milan team. So obviously I loved watching them. They were fantastic to watch, and really, really some amazing players playing for them. And then I kind of had a period where whatever the television deal was over sort of UK and Ireland, and I didn't watch it for a few years, and then sort of maybe 6, 7, maybe even 8 years ago, I started watching it regularly again. But like, in terms of teams, like, to be honest, like, as I genuinely have no, like, I'm not up at night looking at a team or, like, you know, worrying about, right, who's the next match. Like, a lot of the time, even it's daft things. Like, I've managed, like, a team in Football Manager, or I've played with a team in FIFA a few times and liked them for a few months, or liked them for a few years. On you know, Jerry's point earlier, he was talking about Atalanta and saying he I know Jerry thinks Atalanta is quite overrated, but like, to me, they're a fun team to watch. Is, you know, obviously, and they're quite a unique team. There was a period a few years ago whenever Rudy Garcia first came in at Roma. I know that I'll not go down well with Jerry. I quite like that. Quite like them. I liked Napoli whenever they had Hamšík, Cavani, and. Oh yes, name escapes me. The Lavezzi. I enjoyed watching them. But, you know, to me, Serie A has this reputation, and like, a lot of people, you know, living here, obviously, in Ireland, you've got you're kind of still in the Premier League bubble. Like, it's the same media. So, you know, everybody's like, oh, Serie A, sure, why would you watch that? It's going to be 0-0. But like, it genuinely isn't that league anymore. Like, you know, it's. There is so much, so many good players, and so many great games. Personally, at the minute, I just kind of want somebody to knock Juve off their perch. Be that one of the Milan teams, be it a Lazio, be it an Atalanta. I just want somebody to actually properly challenge them.
Well, I have one more question to ask you, and. You being an outsider of Serie A, you don't have a main team. What has your thoughts been on Ciro Immobile this season and his play? And basically, do you think he'll win the scoring title in Serie A?
But what's the scoring at the minute? He's still a couple ahead of Ronaldo, isn't he?
He's got.
Yeah, he's. I think he's one ahead of Ronaldo, yes. Right, Jerry?
One
he's
ahead.
At 31. He's at 31. Yeah. Cristiano's at 30.
Yes.
And there's three games left, isn't there? I think I was looking at the table last night. Three games left.
Yeah, five.
And
off.
To be honest,
he's five off the record. To tie it of Gonzalo Higuain as well. Sorry.
To be honest, like Ciro Immobile, he's. I know he was knocking about. I actually was watching. A program, and I'd done like a wee sort of was like a 5 or 10 minute profile on Ciro Immobile recently, and I didn't realise that he had actually played for Juventus at the very beginning of his career. I seen that he actually come on for Del Piero at Shoji, so like I didn't like the first time I ever remember him really. I know then, like, I've wrote about him since, and I've read stuff about him, and like, in a way, obviously, I think it was Genoa he went to, and then, but the first time I remember him was the season him, and I think it was Alessio Cerce, were at Torino, and the two of them kind of got their big moves from that. They were, Immobile went to Germany, and Cerce went to Atletico Madrid, and like, I know, like, it obviously didn't work out for Immobile, and then he's just like, he's went back to Italy, and just became this crazy goal scorer, you know. So I hope he does. I hope he wins it. I think it's funny that you know, everybody's like, oh, you know, Ronaldo's done it in three legs. Ronaldo's done it to me. Yes, he's, you know, he's like, he's won what looks like it's going to be two Scudetto titles over the sort of the next week or two. But like last season, obviously, he didn't win it. He didn't win the Capo Canieri. The name's just left me. The guy that was at he was at Sampdoria. Who was the guy who won it last year?
Fabio Quagliarella.
Quagliarella, yeah. Because the name just left me. He's actually a player I quite like, and I know I've read the stories about him. Whenever he was getting the policeman was like was like fraud and stuff on him. But
yeah, he was committing fraud or blackmailing him down in Naples. Yeah. It was a fascinating story.
Yeah, I remember reading it a few years ago, and like, it was an amazing story. And obviously, he had the season of his life kind of last year, and won the scoring title, and then obviously again this year, if Immobile can beat him, to me it would just kind of be funny. More than as petty as that might be. Mm-hmm. It's just messy fanboy stuff, but I hope Immobile does it. Obviously, I haven't looked, you know, to see the fixtures, and I imagine, like, I've no doubt that Ronaldo will not be having any of this resting me for Champions League games while there's a goal scoring title to go. But, you know, hopefully Immobile does it. It would be, I think he deserves, you know, I think has he already got two? So this would be his third.
I believe, but, so, yeah, because he got one a couple of years ago at 29 Torino. Goals. I think he had one before that, right, Jerry?
With Torino, I believe he got it with.
I think he shared one with.
Yeah.
First one with Torino. Yeah. And
I think he shared one with Icardi, didn't he?
Shared it with Icardi 2 years ago,
29
yeah.
goals.
Yeah.
But I'm all for it. I really hope he does it. I think he's a remarkable story. He just seems to be this guy where, like, he just... Like, I kind of, like, at the time at Torino, and you're just kind of like, ah, oh, you know, he took the step up and it wasn't very good. And I think he had a wee loan spell in Spain as well, I think, after Germany. And then he went back to Italy and just a goal scoring machine. You know, I love it. And then, like, at least, you know, all people and everybody's like, you know, how's this guy? What's this guy doing? What's this guy at? And he's scoring goals in Italy, which isn't an easy thing to do. You know, you look at, like, the amount of goal scorers and, you know, it's certainly, like, it's a generally a lower amount of when the top goal scorer in that league than it will be in the other. So it's a great thing. He's a fantastically talented player, and I hope he keeps it up.
Really good stuff, all of it, man. We appreciate you taking some time, and it's always nice for us to, you know, dip our toes in the water of other leagues, to get some Premier League talk in, some La Liga talk. I think it's good that we get to broaden our horizons. So, Jerry Johnston, let people know, man, where they can find you on social media, where they can follow you, and where they can check out your work.
Well, at the minute, I'm on Twitter. It's at GJ Sports Blog, Jerry Johnston, that GJ Sports Blog. On Twitter. So at the minute, I'm not really that active. I've been working on a few sort of long-term projects, a few different stories and stuff that I'm hoping to cover. One of them's actually a wee slightly Serie A linked, where we sort of profile on Boban that used to play for AC Milan, and then there's a few other bits of sport and different things. But yeah, I'm hoping to kind of find a niche, and I'm working my way back into the writing and hopefully podcasting, maybe YouTube as well. So
really good stuff, man. We'll be supporting you along the way. I really love your work, and I enjoyed chatting with you. So you want to make sure you follow Jerry, and you want to follow Jerry Mancini as well at JMancini8. You want to follow me at Alex Dono. Please follow the show at CalcioConPod. And Jerry Mancini, I want to leave our listeners with a little bit of a cliffhanger right now. I am raging at the moment, and it's not from anything that Jerry Johnson said. He was fantastic, but I have been notified by a Calcio insider, and we'll get into this in our next episode in a few days with the Calcio guys, because there may be more to this by then. But I am now seriously concerned, based on a couple things I've been told behind the scenes, that Inter is fumbling the negotiation for Sandro Tonali with Brescia, and that, in the words of my source, they have gift wrapped him to Milan. So I'm going to go find the nearest. I'm going to go find the nearest bridge and jump off of it. Like, honestly, this is only fucking Inter can ruin my life like this. That I'm so
sure Lazio was coming in for the kill, man. I was like, wait a second. Are my dreams coming true that Lotito is actually going to spend money on a midfielder?
No, it's Milan. Here's what I was told, and we'll get into this in our next episode, because we'll have more information, that essentially the offer that Inter has made to Brescia is for a deal worth, I don't know, a little over 30 million euros, but payable over 4 years. So they really want to, like, stagger out the payments. And apparently Milan has come in and offered the same amount, but payable over 3 years or less. And I don't know. And as far as the player himself, like, Tonali already has an agreement with Inter, but could probably find one with Milan, because he's, you know, he's a boyhood Milanista. That's the team that he cheered for growing up. So if it comes to finding an agreement with the player, I don't think that would be the biggest obstacle. I think it comes down to whoever can close it with Brescia first. And as Jerry Johnston knows, Chiellino is going to take the best offer. Like, he's not gonna hesitate to take the best offer. So I'm fuming right now. We will talk to you guys again on the next episode of the Calcio Connection.
What the fuck just happened?
Ciao.